You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and unto even to the remotest parts of the earth. So we'll follow that geographic outline as we walk through Acts. In this quarter, we'll basically be seeing the spread of the gospel in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. And next quarter, as we continue in Acts, we'll follow Paul, the Apostle Paul, as he spreads the gospel to the remotest parts of the earth, at least the parts of the earth that they knew about at that time, 2,000 years ago. But as we follow that progress, only rarely does Luke stop to describe what is happening in the local churches. His primary focus is on the progress of the gospel and how it's spreading and all the stories and the tales and the ways that they share Christ and see people come to Christ. But every once in a while, he'll stop and give us just a brief snapshot of, okay, here's how things are going in the local church. We have one of those today in the end of chapter 2. It's a rare occasion as our lesson focuses on the local church in Jerusalem. Excuse my hoarseness, allergy season is here. Let me share from you some comments from my favorite commentator. He says, this early part of Acts is foundational as the new believers go through numerous transitions. Between the death of Christ and the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD was a transitional period. The tearing of the temple veil when Jesus died symbolized the termination of the old Mosaic order. The new order began with Pentecost, as we studied last week. However, it took several decades for God's people to make the transition in their thinking and in their practice. And the book of Acts documents many of these transitions. Ethnically, there was a transition from dealing primarily with the Jews, God's chosen people, to dealing with both Jew and Gentile without distinction. Then there was, and we'll hear more about that in coming lessons, because it was a major point of tension. There was also a transition in the group with whom God was dealing, from Israel to the church. Likewise, there was a transition in the principle on which God was dealing with men, from law to grace. There was a transition from the anticipation of Messiah's coming as the motivation and their hope and their encouragement to the fact that, historical fact, that he came. It's already happened. It's in our rearview mirror now. Likewise, there was a transition that for years they'd look forward to the promise of the Holy Spirit that would to come to live among them. And now they're dealing with the historical fact that the Holy Spirit is with us. He is in us. And again, whole new ballgame. All of these transitions were made positionally at the time, this brief period of time between the death of Christ and the day of Pentecost. Yet experientially, the ways they lived it out in their lives, daily lives, and in their interactions, these truths were understood and entered into only over a period of decades. This is the same thing that we talk about in terms of our righteousness. Positionally, when we receive Christ, we take on his righteousness. We are clothed in his righteousness. And in God's eyes, we are perfectly righteous. Experientially, not so much. We still struggle with the sin nature, and that's a ongoing process that will take us through all of our life until the day that we are perfected, when Christ calls us home or calls us to the clouds. So let's jump into our passage today to understand what Luke describes as the community life among the new believers. Then we're going to divide into discussion groups today. We're going to try something new and see if you all run me out of here and I get kicked out of the teaching rotation. We're going to talk about how we can live out those characteristics of fellowship in our Barnabas Bible Fellowship group. We're going to answer this question. We're going to address this question. We may not have all the answers, but we're going to talk about how can we enhance koinonia. That's the 50-cent Greek word. Marilyn chastises me for using those, but hey, I got to redeem my seminary education expense somehow. But how can we enhance fellowship in the Barnabas class? Because when you read the description we're going to walk through, it talks about the two pillars being Bible study, Bible teaching, and fellowship. That's exactly what we are. We are a Bible fellowship group. Our purpose is the same as the early church. So that's why this passage is so important for us to understand and for us to think of, to apply, figure out how can we apply this better in our lives. That'll be our focus today. Let me read chapter 2 of Acts, starting in verse 42. This is the believers, the thousands of souls who'd come to Christ following Peter's sermon that y'all talked about last week. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. So it says they continually devoted themselves to two things, Bible teaching and fellowship, just as we do in our Barnabas class. My commentators note that the Greek grammar sets these two activities as primary. There's a number of activities listed there, but those are all seen to be secondary to the two primary facets of the apostles' teaching and the fellowship time. And it talks about how they're doing this continually, meaning it's a habit, it's a pattern of life. This is something. Again, they were adjusting to doing this because it was different than the old pattern of life, but this was their pattern of life. So let's think about this a minute. We talk about the apostles' teaching. So what would be included in the apostles' teaching? What's their sources? What's the content of what they're teaching about? What's parts of what they'll be teaching?
Fulfillment of prophecy.
Okay. Where do they get knowledge of that, Matt? Fulfillment of prophecy is what he said. We got it over here, what we call the Old Testament. They had the Old Testament scriptures were written. They were not readily available. They weren't carrying them around. They were in scrolls in their synagogues. But they had access to the Old Testament. But what else did they have? They had Jesus' teaching. And there's really two parts of that, right? There's Jesus' teaching when he was alive. And all the teaching, again, the definition of the apostles, when they talk about the apostles' teaching, the definition of the apostles are ones who were with them from the very beginning. So men who are doing the teaching, they have heard all of Jesus' teaching as he was in the temples, the synagogues, on the wayside, walking through the fields, all of that. He heard that. But they also had a season after his death. Well, with Jesus' teaching, he was with them before his ascension. They had a season where Jesus came, and it talks about in numerous places how he taught them. He kind of wove together the threads from this Old Testament and all of the prophecies and all that was said about the Messiah and all of those things, he wove all of that together to enable them to understand. We see the best example of that are in Luke, the people on the road to Emmaus. But he did that with the disciples as well. In these days, after his return, after his physical return, he was hanging out with this group of people and explaining those things. Heard somebody else say the Holy Spirit was something else they had. Right, and to remember those things, exactly. They had the Holy Spirit as part of that teaching that they now had internally living within them, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And kind of part of that, there was another part of the definition of apostles is that they were ones who received divine revelation. They heard the teaching of Jesus. They had all of that. But they also had divine revelation that they received. Several of them have written books of the Bible that we'll study at various points through here. Their word was considered authoritative. So they had that, again, divine anointing as apostles, as they did the teaching. Today we have all of that right here. It's in our word. We've got the Old Testament scriptures that they had. We've got the teaching of Jesus while he was walking the earth. We have snippets of the post-resurrection teaching of Jesus. We have the inspired word of the apostles that they have added along that way. And our primary source today is in the scriptures that we teach every week. So the other part he talks about is fellowship. You read through the rest of this passage. What else does that include, the broad term of fellowship? Breaking bread?
Dinner on the ground.
Dinner on the ground. There you go, Max, today. Yep. You keep corporate worship, okay? Fried chicken. Amen. Falafel and all kinds of good stuff. Sharing of life's experiences. You saw that they met together. It talks about continually in the sense that it's in large groups. They meet in the temple for the teaching by the apostles and for fellowship. And we don't really get a clear picture. You know, they didn't have a Be Real or something that would show them exactly what was going on in those times. But they also met from house to house in smaller groups. What else was part of that fellowship? Sue? Okay. So what we call a compassion ministry, being aware of and meeting the needs of people. And they were called to do that. Patty? Okay, developing a sense of family. Okay. Your spiritual family. What else was part of that fellowship? Prayer? Growing day by day. And it talks about how the Lord was adding day by day those who were coming to know him. And how did they come to know him? Nobody said evangelism. What kind of Baptist church is this? They were sharing the good news of Christ's life and how the people could be one with him. It talks about, I'm not going to go there, really spend any time there. It talks about a continual sense of awe that they had. Doesn't really give us a description of beyond that as to exactly what that is. But I know me personally, I've experienced some times in worship where I've had just this sense of God present. And a sense of awe. Talks about signs and wonders. Part of the role of the apostles, part of the way that God gave them to validate their credentials, if you will, in that season, was by doing signs and miracles. And we're walking through those as we, and we'll be walking through those as we study through the rest of Acts. See numerous times when We have that. I think Rex has got one next week. It's one of my favorites of walking and leaping. And if you get us after class, we might sing and dance and sing our junior church a song that was a favorite. What else were they doing? Talk. Okay. Right. They were enjoying the admiration of the people. It talks about there's a sense of a community, but a communal living experience. It talks about how people who had resources sold things to give to meet the needs of others. And again, in the next chapter or two, we're going to see some outstanding examples of that, both on the good side and in the negative side. Do you wish you'd been there? You ever go back and say, I wish we could experience that today. I wish we could either bring that koinonia here into the Barnabas class, or we could go back and see that so we could truly understand what that's about. Well, that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to take the rest of our class time and we're going to divide into small groups. And we're going to talk about this question. How can we enhance koinonia? It's given us a description here in our passage of different ways they experienced fellowship. We do a lot of those in the Barnabas class, but we want to talk about what can we do that could be different. So we're going to divide into four groups, basically by the sections that you're in. So this group over here, Jack Lewis is going to be our group leader. This group, Lynn Miller, is going to be our group leader. Ezio is leading this group. And then Marilyn is going to join y'all and lead this group. So they have a group of questions. But again, fundamentally, we're trying to answer this question. How can we enhance koinonia in the Barnabas class? So, and I forgot to mention the best of all, Marvin is going to lead all of the Zoomies, and they're going to meet together and take advantage of the technology to have some time to just talk about these questions. So kind of group up so that you can see one another. We're going to have about 15 minutes to talk about these questions. So group leaders, be sure you're marshaling your time well.
Hello, Froze. Hello, friends. Could we hear some of you? George, say, give us an experience in your ministry of how people helped you to become the pastor you were. What about fellowship? Where did you experience koinonia? Are you there, George?
I am here.
Could you share with us some of the things that happened with you in the earlier years and latter years that you gave opportunity for people to serve with you in koinonia, fellowship? What was for some experiences you may have had?
Well, one of the greatest experiences is the fellowship around the Word, where we studied the Word together. Another was, of course, was visiting the sick and the ill. Going on mission trips was a wonderful thing, too. One of the great things of preaching the gospel is being able to go in foreign countries, even like in Mexico and India, where I went. And the church was so grateful to send us full of love for everybody. It was just a great fellowship when we would get together to pray. Pray for people specifically who are sick or ill. Pray for some lost people. Most wonderful of all was going to people's homes and witnessing and bringing them to know Christ.
Well, we appreciate that testimony about that. We all look forward to having look with numbers of people that we have served in past times. fellowship groups, and some of those people we have maintained contact with, fellowship with, over the last 50 years. Fellowship is a relationship of mutual affection between two or more people. I sent out some material to the men in our preparation for our get-together Tuesday for lunch. It says, a friend is someone who knows all about you and loves you anyway. A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. Here's another one that I like. The best antiques are my old friends. Oh my, at 91 years of age, Bernie, I can look back and see number of people that have maintained contact with us, and we appreciate that type of friendship. And then the one that I like also is, a friend is like a rainbow. They brighten your life when you are going through the storm. And many of us at our age have gone through some ups and downs in our life. And that's a, well, we were also wanting to get other people to share with us some of the things about fellowship that they've experienced with their class or with their church. But where God is at work, lives will be touched in a miraculous way. And that's what happened there in the days of Pentecost. And those 3,000 people in Jerusalem were experiencing something that had never had been experienced before. The Holy Spirit came, and they were willing to give away everything they had so that there was unity, there was generosity, there was a love that only Christ can give. And I appreciate looking back over our get-togethers with my families and with our churches, and the things that they have provided for us in loving each other. I go back to see what we as a class can do here in North Richland Hills Baptist Church, now known as Cross Church. I like some of the songs that we have sung in the past and the importance of them in our lives. I liked one of the ones that the Bill Gaither has that deals with the importance of koinonia, of fellowship. And it goes like this. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened. And now I know he touched me and made me whole. Praise the Lord for Bill Gaither writing
that. Amen. Amen.
Hearing that. And it's a thing only the people that have experienced that touch of the Lord can be real fellowship people together. Another one that I learned as a child in Mississippi,
Marvin,
that I just like to hear other people sing and remember also. My dear old mother used to sing to me all the time as we were teenagers and could understand the life a little better. Others, Lord, yes, others, let this my motto be. Help me to live for others that I may live like thee. And I can hear my mother sing that over and over again. And it's been one of the mottos of my life. Others, Lord, yes, others. Well, I'd like to, some of the other help you, help us get some other ideas about the importance of fellowship, the importance of being together. And another psalm I see. Is the importance of loving each other. Gaither came up with one, loving God, loving each other. Loving God, loving each other. And
Amen.
That is an important part of our lives today.
Hey, Marvin?
Yes, come on in.
This, George, I like that passage in James where it says, pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this, to visit the orphans and maintain, you know, the interest in those who are not with us necessarily. I had a lady visit us here at Brookdale the other day, and it was a wonderful, wonderful touch from her, bringing literature that we hadn't had, bringing news about the class, helping us to understand again that God reaches out to us where we are through people like that, and that touch and fellowship is so important in our mobile society today, where people are here, people are there. Some can't go to church because of their health. And just for them to reach out and touch us is just wonderful. Thank God for that.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're experiencing some of that same type of thing, George, here at our Hardest Retirement Center. I was in a committee meeting yesterday, and I was surprised when the leader said, "Listen, we're going through some ups and downs, and we need prayer. And let's pray together." And I was excited to have a prayer. And one of the ladies that has a daughter that's a pastor in one of our churches here, she led us in prayer. And I feel like being the one that will be leading the prayer later on in this same committee meeting. Well, one of the other things that we were to do as we went through this time together over the Zoomy program is to help us come up with something that our group, the Zoomies, will give them opportunity to have a closer fellowship with each other. I remember back when I was the director of the Jackson class, Dudley Jackson, we had the friendly fours, and that was, I feel, a good thing that we had at that time. Four couples getting together once a month at some restaurant or their home or whatever, and have fellowship together and getting to know each other. And then 4 months
later. Just to remind you, your time's half gone, so you need to be moving towards what can we do in Barnabas class.
Yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are, trying to decide what's the best way or what's another way that we can make fellowship a part of our life in a better way. And so I'd love to see us get back into some things like. And then another one was the spring and fall retreats that we had. And we've done that some in the Barnabas class, that we were able to get better acquainted with each other and have fellowship. And, you know, a lot of times it's because of a time factor. You know, many times at church, we can only shake a hand and have a sentence or two, and we're off and gone again with somebody else. But we realize that the retreats and the having bread together is a time of fellowship and knowing each other better. And I think it's important that we wear those name tags so we can call people by name and know them by name. I think we all love to hear our name called, especially when we're in a group and needing help in that area. And the other thing that helps us in fellowship is eating together. You know, we in the Barnabas class and the old Jackson class, we had the, what they call the lunch bunch. And we were able to get together more often and have time, especially as we wait for the meal. And even after the meal, people stay around and visit and talk and have fellowship together. So I'm on you that are hearing me, give us some other ideas that we can pass on to the class for a better fellowship time, the koinonia of a class. Who else like to speak?
I think one of the things we do, we can call people who are shut in, who never have contact with the class. We can ask them, also get somebody to go pick them up and take them out to these meals that the class meets together. We can use our talents and our gifts where we are. I'm pleased to announce I hold a Bible study every Wednesday night. I hold a Sunday school service on the first Sunday of the month in our place here. It's great fellowship. It's not right there in the classroom.
Yes.
I feel like we're sort of an extension of the class when we use our talents and gifts that way.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear that you're doing that, George. I know the people there appreciate it. And it's important to call people by name and know who they are and a little about their family and so forth. I'm on the one of the committees here, and we greet the new members and that are new residents. They come in here and we try to have a meal with them and learn a little more about them. And the other good thing is that we have a pictorial directory that helps us get and remember who people are and what floor they're on and what room they're in and what their needs are. George, what would be a good thing that we could project or provide for the class, where each of the groups are to make some kind of recommendation that we have this and that? Do you have any suggestions?
Well, I would make a point that if we are going to have the class student-pupil book, we deliver those to the shut-ins so they'll have a class to go by or a study to go by when the teachers teach. I think it's important that I get a copy of the pupil's book.
Yes, we did that sometime in COVID, if you remember. We went by and picked up the quarterly, the Bible study guide, and went around the neighborhood. Anybody else like to make a comment?
I like the fellowship we can have, even with our leaders here. We have a fine Christian executive director. We can go to him and talk to him and pray with him. It's a wonderful fellowship.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, we're going through a transition here. We have been here just about 3 years coming up this fall at this place, and we have gone through four CEOs. So we're in that transition now of a new one coming in to lead us in this area. And I know many of you will pray for us that we'll get the right one, and they allow and encourage prayer during our time together. All right. I like what I have finally run across, that song that I mentioned a while ago, loving God and loving each other. To me, is a good motto.
I think one way the class can help one another is share their own personal testimony with each other. One of the great things you can know about a person is how they got saved.
Yeah, that would be good. Yeah, the Lord has been good to us. And yesterday we observed our 68th wedding.
One more minute.
Marriage. Wow. And 29th of 20 next Saturday, Vern will turn 91, just like I have been.
We'll have 67.
Uh-huh. You're right there with us. And the Maptons are 6 months ahead of us.
All right, Marilyn, you going to report first?
Well, we don't just have one. We have eight suggestions.
Pick your top one and give the rest of the list to Mac, and he'll work it all out.
We think it needs to be in homes. We think it needs to be small groups, because sharing is different in small groups. We think something like supper eights, or I mentioned breakfast eights.
That's why you get to do just one, he said.
Well, no, I'm moving on. I've got the mic. We think it needs to be intentional. In other words, not just like, oh, yeah, we should do that. But we think it needs to be intentional. We think it could be just dessert and not a meal, because some of us don't cook or would rather not for six people or whatever. It's BYOF, is what someone suggested. Bring your own food. No. And we don't think it's necessarily Bible study involved in it.
Thank you for summarizing that into eight concise points.
Very good.
Ezio, you want to report on your group?
Look at who he's saying it. Well, I'm going to start with how we have experienced koinonia, or fellowship. The first person to speak in our group was, if you don't mind, Patty. It was Patty, and she was giving an example of how she came to church, and Bill Swank, I'm sorry, forgive me, gave her a piece of paper with all the details of what our Sunday school class is about, and that touched her And as a result of that, she came to this class, and then she became a part. So as an example how the idea of fellowship created a new member into our class. Tom spoke of his church in New Orleans, where...
All right, Ezio, you're not my wife, so you may not get quite as much grace for your one-minute report. But you all did great, so I appreciate it.
All right, you're welcome.
All right, how about the Zoomies? Can we turn them on and can we hear them, Johnny?
We also talked about the importance of us sharing our salvation and with our groups as we meet together. We get better acquainted with them when we hear where they have been and what they have become.
Okay, good suggestion.
We also think the importance of more time to get better acquainted and friendly fours where we used to have, where four couples get together and have time of fellowship and then 4 months later repeat it, whether they have a meal at a restaurant or in their home. And the other thing was we have had before with Barnabas class and the Jackson class is a spring and fall retreat where we have an overnight get together where we get to better know our people. I've enjoyed all of those at River Bend and other places that we have gone as a class. And then we've been staggering with the lunch bunch. Mac and Dottie have been going to Ernie's, but maybe we need to look at the lunch bunch and getting that going again for having more time to visit and fellowship with our classmates. That's okay. It.
Thank you, Marvin. I see several here pointing at their watch saying, all
thank
right,
you for that 10 minutes. Extra 10 seconds you gave me, Toby. The other thing that our group talked about was the prayer meeting that we come here, and through that prayer meeting, we not only submit to God, but to get to be vulnerable with each other, and that creates koinonia. Thank you for the extra time, Toby. That's so nice of you.
We're not going to put you in charge of the presidential debate, though, right? Lynn.
First of all, in my group, it's what y'all said is getting together, you know, to get to know each other. I just found out that Bill, where are you, Bill? Bill is Jody's dad. And Bill, can I speak for you for what you said since they have a clock on us? All right, Bill shared just what everybody else has shared about when he came here meeting in groups. What did you call it? The friendly four? The friendly four. And then, Jody, I'll let you finish up.
Oh, same thing. We talked about the reason that four is great is because if one couple has to drop out for sickness or something, you know, you're not left with four people going, oh, this is awkward. We ditto that it could be a restaurant, a home. At our house on Sundays, our kids bring their own meal, and we just all sit and enjoy it. Nobody has to do the extra work. The other thing that was shared in our group is that if we need to be aware of needs we may need to meet in our class and in our church, and we're talking about on Sundays, a couple who have a son who's on the spectrum. 30 years ago when he was 10, couldn't find a place that felt like they could meet their needs so that they didn't have to take care of their son during their Bible learning time too.
Thank you. Anything else that you had, Lynn? So, being part of Bill's family, I put it in there. Does that mean Bill pays? Is that...
Yes.
Okay, I just want to be clear on that. All right, Jack.
One thing that we could do, maybe take a few minutes even during class time, is to share how the Lord has answered prayers and to how this has led to our personal growth. I'll skip over ones that we've kind of duplicated. Another would be we now have a monthly men's lunch and a monthly ladies' lunch. Why not include a monthly couples' lunch? To, you know, you just come as you can. Yeah.
As long as Bill's paying.
Pay for your own meal.
Oh, I thought Bill was paying, so.
Without duplicating others, that's the main ones for us.
Well, we studied Abraham, you know, kind of everybody's part of Abraham's family, so I figure he's part of Abraham's family, that makes us family.
He is not Abraham, though.
Oh, okay. Well, he kind of looks the part at times, so Father Abraham, thank you for great participation. I kind of eavesdropped on all the groups and was encouraged to hear your good suggestions and particularly the good interaction. So we've been talking about communal. How do we as a class, how do we as a Bible fellowship group better experience koinonia? I want to bring it back to personal and ask you the question out of our study guide dealing with what are you going to do this week for your personal fellowship and your personal contributions. Page 32 in your study guide, it says, which area needs greater attention in your life? Bible study, fellowship with other believers, prayer, meals together. What's your plan to incorporate these disciplines in your life this week and this month and this year? So I'll just leave that as an open question for you to take to the Lord. Father, thanks for this time. Thanks for the importance that you place on the one another's. You put us in community. Jesus gathered a group around him, his guys that he traveled with, that he invested in. His plan was through them to prepare them so they could go out and touch the world. So, Father, thank you for that. Just pray you would show us how better to experience the fellowship that you desire for us so that we can honor you in our daily, weekly lives. Well, thanks for this. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.